The morning session was based on understanding the call of time for the present. Maybe you must have reflected a little bit, and then Asha Didi also shared some insights about detached involvement. Anything which has remained with you from the morning sessions? Because you had some time, maybe during lunch you had a sharing with your friends, after that also, there must have been some reflection, no? Some thoughts, some churning. Anything which remained with you, a thought which remained with you, a feeling which remained with you from the morning, especially the theme session which we had in the morning. You can be seated and speak. Sure. How to meditate. Yeah. That we will have our morning sessions which are there. The first lesson today you did on the self. Tomorrow will be the second session in the morning at 6:30. And there you'll be having the understanding of the Supreme. And then day after tomorrow will be the actual method. So that will surely be covered. But from the theme sessions, because, you know, the whole theme of the dialogue is God's power for a golden world and new paradigms in business and industry. So the call of the time which we saw in the morning, according to whatever situations we have, whether it's a challenge in a situation, whether it's because of competition, it's because of stress, it's because of a relationship which is not working, maybe there is some aspect of insecurity, some tension. What is the time now? How should we respond to those situations? The call of the time, which some thoughts were shared with you. Where you need to now move towards a solution. Which direction are you going to take? Not getting affected by situations around. So maybe we cannot directly change any situation from the outside, we found. But we can work within that we don't get affected by it. What else? We should not blame anyone, not even the self. No? No self-blame, no blaming of people or situations. Because again it's wasting our time, thinking too much about something which we cannot do anything. And we find that most of us, when we check, throughout the day, whether it's dealing with something at work or dealing with something in the family, many times we fall into this trap of blaming. Yes? Blame game which we play. If no one else, then it's a self. If no one self, then it is. Whom do we blame when we have no one else around? The Supreme is always there available. And he doesn't react in any way. So it's more comfortable to keep blaming him for everything which is happening in our life. Yes. And so we find that this is a trap, because then we lose the power to do anything. And we are draining off energy throughout the day. What else? How we respond. And for that, the direction which we have to take is more of self-empowerment. This is most important. This journey of throughout the day constantly empowering myself. Very, very important. Throughout the day, investing more and more time and energy to keep myself charged. So throughout the day I'm thinking, throughout the day I'm speaking, throughout the day I'm doing things. But how much of those things are leading me to an experience of self-empowerment? So now slowly and slowly the focus has to be whom? Not people and situations, but it's more myself. And so that's this light which you're seeing, it's the hub. The self becomes the hub. So like in a wheel also, the hub is very important, you know, the center point. And the metal of this hub is supposed to be very strong. The more strong it is, the more stable it is, what happens to the wheel? There's a lot of good speed movement. The right speed you get. Like, you know, in a bullock cart in all our villages, there's still some places where the bullock cart is used because India is a land of villages, no? And so we find the more stronger the hub is, the more there is movement and speed in the wheel. And as soon as this hub starts shaking and it weakens, what happens? What happens? The wheel first slows down, doesn't immediately collapse, it slows down, and then after some time if the movement continues, then it collapses. So throughout the day, whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm speaking, whatever I'm doing, the way I'm responding to situations, if it is weakening me, leading me to more and more mental fatigue, energy loss, depletion of virtues and qualities, what happens? My response to situations becomes very slow and ineffective. And I'm not able to respond in every situation with so much of speed. Today is very important, speed. Yes, not just doing the right thing, but doing it at the right time. No? Not being just efficient, they say, but being effective. No? And so speed, doing it at the right time becomes very important. Now that speed comes, the more stable I am within. The more calmer I am within, the more speedy I can respond effectively to situation. The more there is chaos here, what happens? Outside? Yes? What happens? The more there is chaos here, the more there is fluctuation there, disturbance there, stress there, pain there, what happens outside? Yes? Think, decisions likely to go wrong, what else? Relationships, chaos, conflict, what else? Outside what do we see? How does it be reflected? Yes. There's more reaction. There's energy, but the energy is more towards reacting, chaos. I'm not in control. The more I'm stable here, the more I'm in control and I can influence the situation. No? Either you come under the influence of the situation or you are influencing the situation. No? So when the hub is strong, when you're working throughout the day in a journey to making yourself more stronger, empowering yourself, you have had a lifestyle which supports meditation, a meditative lifestyle. So that is why here we learn not only Raj Yoga as a technique for relaxing ourselves, for calming ourselves down, but as a lifestyle. Yogi jivan banane aaye hain, to make a life of a yogi. You ready to become a yogi? You must be thinking, oh, sister is wanting us to become a yogi. That means tomorrow sister will say, detach everything, leave everything, come and stay in Mount Abu. Yes? You have that fear? No. Yogi does not mean wearing white dress or a saffron dress, but yogi means remaining calm, being the master within, always remaining connected to the source. And so we find the more stronger and stable we are from within, the more we can influence things from outside. The more I'm in control here, the more I can influence. When I lose control here, a lot of energy is seen outside, but the energy is reactive energy. Agitation. Where I lose control over my feelings and emotions externally, I'm reacting. And so I'm not able to influence situation towards a solution. Neither am I able to inspire people. Yes? or influence them in a positive way?
No.
So it's very important that I focus within. Our institution's head, Dadiji, Dadi Janki, whom you will be meeting. I'm sure today we will not be able to meet her, but tomorrow or day after tomorrow we are waiting for her to come from Ahmedabad, and she will surely meet you. And, you know, whenever she comes to, she travels a lot, though she is, her physical body's age is 96, and she travels so much. Till 2007 she was based in London, looking after all our abroad centers in 137 countries. And since 2007, since our most respected Dadi Prakashvani, she has left her physical body and now moved on to other services. Dadi Janki is now looking after the administration as a chief of Brahma Kumaris, and she's based in Mount Abu, but she still travels a lot. And so we are very lucky in Mumbai whenever she travels, because I'm from the Vilepale branch, so it's much more closer to the airport, and so we surely have the opportunity to see her. And mostly she's traveling from Ahmedabad, 10:30 she reaches, and she has a flight 12:40 or 1 o'clock to London. Via airport she goes so fast. But whenever we have opportunity for her to come to the center, you know, the moment she comes, she will spend some time to talk to us. And so once Dadiji was coming from London, she was at that time based, it's many years back, and she was going to Ahmedabad and then traveling to Mount Abu, Dadiji was saying that at present, the inspiration which she's getting from the daily spiritual study, which we have based on the direct teachings of the Supreme, she's saying it's most important for us to have 99% attention on the self. And just 1% I'm available at the outside, whatever services are important at a spiritual level, what is the need of the environment, I should be available for that. Rest 99% of your attention should be only on yourself, to make yourself more powerful, to make yourself more peaceful, to make yourself more stable. And when Dadiji, after her, you know, long stay here, we have at a special season which we call as the season of meeting the Supreme, which you will be able to also understand later. And after a few months, when she was returning back again, she was going via Mumbai, so we had the pleasure of meeting her again. And Dadi, she said, well, I need to correct myself. Last time I was sharing with you and I said 99% attention should be on ourselves and 1% be available on the outside. Well, actually, we don't need to have that. We need to have 100% attention only on ourselves. We are an instrument of the Supreme. He'll work through us. Whatever is needed by the environment, automatically He will guide us and work through us. But 100% attention only on my spiritual effort. And so we find it's most important. The call of time is that my attention should be now on myself. Because that gives me the capability to influence situations and influence people. We have another story about, you know, a storm. You know, it was a true story. There was a storm which was influencing this coastal area. So it was predicted, and so along the coast, most of the shipping lanes, you know, which were there, they were, you know, guided. They were informed in advance that the storm will be influencing them, so they should be safe. But well, we always have surprises, and so the storm took a different course. And in the end, it affected that area, again the coast, but that area which was not informed, you know, so they were not prepared. And so many ships drowned, but this ship survived, the true story. But this ship was not more seaworthy than the others. It was not more stronger or more equipped. But it survived because of the captain. And so later on, when they had a story with the captain, he shared his experience, and he said, well, I saw that the storm had engulfed us from all sides, and it was impossible for me to take my ship away from the storm. And that's the time I took this decision. And I guided my officer, I instructed him to change direction, you know, and move directly towards the storm. and this ship survived. What was the captain doing? Immediately, as soon as he took this decision and he asked his officer to change direction, go directly in the storm, what would have happened to all the passengers? They all panicked. Oh, we have a little bit hope that you will take us away from the storm. And now, we are going to go directly to the mouth of death. And he said, well, I know what I am doing. Just remain calm. Remember the Supreme. And the ship survived. What was he doing? The captain? Technically, what was he doing? Where, what happens at the center of the storm? It is peaceful. Well, technically, he was maybe in his naval training days. You know, he was in the Navy, and as a trainee, he had this understanding. He was being given information, and in that he was told about the eye of the storm, which is the epicenter of any storm. And at that place, what happens? The storm is most less effective. The movement of the waves is very less. And in this storm, the epicenter was more than 18 kilometers. But to reach the eye of the storm, what do you have to do? You have to go through that chaos. And so we find that around us also there will always be some or the other challenge, no? In the area of our work, in the area of our family, in the area of our health, in the area of our relationships, some way or the other, something or the other will be there. Always, some test will always be there. And what is our eye of the storm? Yes? Center? Today we have recognized, what is the center? My own self, my own innate self, my own state of mind. And that's where I need to focus myself, that inner calmness, that inner stability, the hub. And you find that it's when I'm connected with my inner self, I'm in that state of calmness within, that I can experience God's powers. And we find that God's powers are not just magical, it's not just imaginary, it's an experience which each one of us has. And whenever we talk about the word power, it's a little misleading, whether it's God's power or power of a human being. This word power, you know, we say power corrupts, you know. So most of all people, we find that we always connect power to power on something. Power on people, power on an activity. When we are talking about power here, it is power within. It's not the outside-in approach, but it's the inside-out approach. Now there are these two symbols of power. What's the difference? And what's more effective? Maybe take, you can take the area of your work. When a person at work, in workplace, wants to control, how will he react to situations? Because you are all professionals, you're managing your business, you're leading your teams in your organization, no? So each one of you enjoy power. So the first image of power, what does that signify in the area of work? Trying to control people, dominate people. What else? Yes? Limited independence. Okay, people don't have independence. I decide what they should do. Yes? Ordering people. They should do what I say. They should listen to what I say. Holding on. Holding on to money, holding on to people, holding on to a position. Yes? That's power. And so what happens? A lot of energy has to be invested in this journey of holding on. Yes, because there's always other people trying to take it away. Yes, because everyone wants this power, no? There's always going to be people around you trying to take it away. And so you have to spend a lot of time to keep holding on. And it is it easy, this journey? Trying to hold on and trying to hold on to a position, yes, you are much more connected to the local news every day in politics or in an organization, holding on to a position, holding on to wealth, holding on to a status. Yes? What happens when we try to hold on? What happens? Creates a lot of stress. What else? We get drained out. Yes? There's a lot of insecurity, fear. Can we enjoy that power when we are trying to hold on? Even though we have a position, what happens? We feel very insecure. We're not able to enjoy that sense of power. What else? There's no mental liberation. We are always in fear, living with fear. Oh, someone will take it away. What are they doing? What are they trying to do? If they are trying to influence other people. Yes. What else? A lot of ego. And so because of ego, there'll be a lot of anger, negativity which comes in. What else? People around them, when people are controlling, what happens to the people around them? Yes? A lot of negative energy. Yes? And so what happens in the workplace, people around them? Yes? How do they feel? No motivation. They feel demotivated. What happens to team spirit? What happens to synergy? Stagnation is there. Are people able to reach their potential, high potential? Are they able to give peak performance? Are they able to give their best? How do the people feel around them? Yes, if we would be in that environment, someone trying to control us at workplace, what happens to us? Yes? People have fear, yes? Animosity, lot of hatred, lot of negative feelings and vibrations for that individual, yes? Around? Yeah, people are uncomfortable, and because of their negative vibes, the person also who's trying to control also will feel that stress, no? Because that communication is so powerful, yes? And what's the difference in the second one? To inspire. What does that symbol signify? Empowering people, giving power. But when I give power, will I not have less? What is the difference? Holding on and giving. Dictatorship and democracy, okay. We need to challenge our thoughts about democracy. Yes? Teamwork. Okay, inspiring people for teamwork. Acknowledging people's capabilities, virtues and, you know, giving them that role, responsibility. What else? Showing confidence in them, having trust in them. Yes? What we give, we get back. We give them freedom. We give them space of decision making. And what do we get? We get creativity. They move towards, you know, solution oriented thinking. They try to take up responsibility. Productivity of the organization increases. Yes? What else? Yes? Appreciation. Okay. We give appreciation. And so what happens to that? Because of that, what do we get? Teamwork, respect, yes. Growth of the organization, yes. Growth of the team, results which we have aimed at, our targets get achieved more easily. Happiness, we enjoy working together, we enjoy our work time. Bonding is strong, satisfaction is there. Each one feels encouraged, yes. New ideas, there is space for each one to think more, give new ideas. Value-based results are achieved. Positive environment. Yes. And suppose we take the area of family. No? So holding on in the family means what? As a parent? Or maybe the guardian of the family. What does that signify? Control? Authority. becomes a sanskar. What else? What does that signify in the area of family? Yes? What I do is right. People don't understand. Yes, what else? What I say, I have so much of years of experience. So I know what is the right and wrong. Yes. So when there's control, even in the family area, what happens to people around? What happens to relationship, whether it's between children and parents, whether it's between the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, whether it's between two brothers who are working together in business? Strained. There's no, there's no, not so much of freedom. What happens? There is a lot of conflict in thoughts. Maybe sometimes there's not so much of verbal conflict, but thought level, people are moving away from each other. Yeah, the experience of love and good wishes becomes less and less when you're trying to control. Even though you may be doing it in your seemingly good intentions, but what happens? You're trying to control the child so that the child does not, you know, maybe go into a wrong direction. But what happens when you're trying to control? Dominate? Does it work? Retaliation, yes, rejection, yes. And inspiring in the family area means what? Yes? Yes, but inspiring the family area. We were seeing things in the work area. Let's see in the family means, because each one of you are parents or, you know, somewhere guardians in the family. More love in the family, giving more space of decision making to everyone, involving each one. You know, whether it's a child also, there's some painting to be done in the family, in your house, you involve the child also, towards what color he would like for his room. Yes, involvement of every member of the family. What else in decision making? What else? Freedom to think, to share ideas, very important, yes. What else? Setting a good example. Yes. What else? Empowering. Giving power, giving some role. Putting people in front in the family. Yes. And so we find that environment of the family also, when we start giving freedom, space for decision making, involving, asking them their ideas. Yes? Appreciating. You know, sometimes we are more focused in appreciating in the organization, but in the family, well, it's there. But appreciating important? In the family also? When there's something very tasty which has been cooked, it's important for you to appreciate? Yes? The child which has done well, maybe? Yes? Done well in a test or maybe had a good maybe game in his hobby or somewhere. Yes, appreciating is important. Yes, very much. And the more you are able to give that freedom and space of decision making, what happens in relationships in the family? Harmony. They come very close. You are able to influence them more. You remain connected. And so we find that this shift from power, from controlling to giving, holding to giving. And that is why we find that all the symbols of power, even in our, you know, Indian mythology, you know, we always remember the deities as symbols of power, Shakti, no? And so you find all the deities, always, what are they doing? In Hindi we say Devta, Dene Vale. And so always what is the symbol? They're always giving. Whether it's Lakshmi or whether it's Saraswati or whether it's Amba, always giving. So giving means receiving. So when they're giving, do they lose all that power? It becomes less? No. It becomes more and more. Because you gain so much of blessings, you gain so much of support, you gain so much of love, so much of bonding, so much of belongingness. Yes? It's very, very important. And so we find that this shift of power, When it comes, then we find that we become givers. And then we are able to create an environment where individually people also feel powerful. It's not only I am powerful, the journey of my empowerment, but people around me also should be able to connect with their innate powers, with their own innate strengths, with their own innate potential. They should be also able to give their best, feel good, be in their highest level of self-esteem, be able to express their highest potential, give their peak performance in whichever area they are. And so that is what we call as leadership, whether it's in an organizational area. Okay, so we find giving is very important, inspiring. And that's why there is this symbol of the hand of giving. The more we give, the more we get respect and, you know, we get regard. And automatically we are able to influence more. Power comes where you can influence. And so we find the more people have given, they are able to influence people's thoughts, words, decisions. And the more you're holding on, what happens? You lose the power to influence. Yes? And so we find as an individual, it's important for me to experience my power, but also create an environment around me where I can inspire and motivate people. Whenever people around me are asked, whether it's in my family, my children, my brother, sister, all people in my close family, whether it's in the organization, yes, when they are asked to remember a person who inspires them, they should also be able to remember me as an individual, yes. So that empowerment is very important. And with that, when I am connected to that highest level of self-esteem, then I can also experience God's power. And so we find that giving power means to experience that deep sense of humility. And so we find that today, we find that most of us, we've always connected power at the external level. Whether it's in the form of a position, it's form of a role which we are playing, or it's the form of some, you know, financial status which is there. But the real power of a true leader, or maybe a role model in the family, that we call an individual as a role model in the family also, it comes only on the strong foundation of humility. Because it's only one, like they talk about the tree, which is fully laden with fruits. What happens? Then it bows down. Yes? It's fully laden. So the one who is full of all virtues and qualities has the power to be humble. And so we find humility comes from a very deep foundation of self-esteem. And there's self-esteem, there is humility in relationships. Without self-esteem, what happens? If there's a deep sense of insecurity and lack of self-confidence, then what happens in relationships? What's the opposite of humility? When I'm insecure about my own self, low sense of self-confidence, self-respect and experience of self-worth is very low. What happens when I'm in relationships? Yes? Inferiority complex. Either I withdraw and I have an inferiority complex, or I will have a lot of ego. Two extreme responses. But it's only when I'm connected to my deep sense of self-worth, self-empowerment, as we saw, is that I have the power to give, humility, the power to be able to be a giver. And so we find that humility means to be always able to learn from my mistakes, yes? So we find that making a mistake is surely okay. Everything which we do every time, we're not going to be able to do it right at the first time. But learning, being able to accept the mistake and learning from it is important. That is one important sign of being humble, being able to improve. As soon as I accept my mistake, what happens? Yes? You get a feedback. What feedback do I get? As soon as there's Maybe in any area, whether it's work or whether it's in the family. If I accept my mistake, yes. You open yourself to change, and change means growth, moving ahead. And what happens to relationships around you? They open up, you know, people start coming closer. There's more respect, more concern, more care. They would like to support you, they would like to help you in your journey of learning. Yes? But if you start blaming people, what happens? People move away. Yes? And so we find it's very, very important for us to learn to be able to accept mistakes. I was talking about Dadi Prakashmani, and we remember this very beautiful thought which she had shared in one of our conferences. Every year we have a theme. This year's theme is God's plan for a golden world. God has a special plan and we have a special role in it. That's why you're here. Yes? And so we find that, you know, when Dadiji, we had this theme of global cooperation and global harmony for a better world, you know. So it was the year of harmony. And so we had this beautiful conference which was going on in the headquarters. And there were so many great distinguished speakers who had come. We had invited many of them. They were sharing beautiful experiences, beautiful thoughts, inspiring thoughts. And when it was the turn of Dadiji to share, Dadiji said very beautifully, harmony mana kya? Maine harmony aap jeete. Harmony. Accepting mistake, you know. Okay, maine harmony, chalo, mere se galti ho gayi. Aap jeete. Who becomes a winner? The one who accepts the mistake automatically becomes a winner. And so we find that it's most important to be able to accept mistakes, to be able to learn from them. You know, someone very beautifully has said, when I'm able to learn from a failure, then what happens? It becomes an experience. It will start inspiring others. It's only when I don't learn from that failure that it remains a failure. And so, giving, accepting mistakes and learning, moving ahead from that, not blaming people. Seeing virtues in people, very, very important. And I remember this very beautiful story of the rabbi's gift. There was this Buddhist monastery, in which this monastery many years back was a very, very flourishing monastery. People around in that area, in that village, used to visit it every day, and people from far away used to come also. But slowly and slowly, people started visiting it less and less because the environment within the monastery was not so positive any longer. There's a lot of conflict among the monks who were living inside. And later on, there were only 7 monks who remained in the monastery. And the environment no longer was so positive and healthy. And so slowly and slowly people stopped visiting. And it was the gardens around, there was no one there. And these monks together, after some time, they had this realization that there's something wrong. We need to bring about some change. And so one of them took this initiative of, you know, making them sit together. And the elder monk, and he said, well, we need to do something about it together. What should we do? And so they started in their own way praying to the Supreme. And one day, in the dream of the abbot, the elder monk, the senior monk, he had this dream, the vision of the Supreme, telling him that the solution lies with the rabbi. The rabbi is the senior monk of the Jewish monastery. And so when he shared this amongst these Buddhist monks, they were all surprised. They said, well, how could we do that? How could you go to the, you know, Jewish monastery and ask them to give us a solution? This is not right. We should not be telling them about all our problems. And well, the abbot said, well, this is what I got as an inspiration in my dream. And I think we don't have many options. We should try out this option. And later on they agreed. And then the abbot took this journey to this faraway village where we had the Jewish monastery and we had the rabbi there. And so at that time they didn't have a lot of means of communication, but a message was communicated. to the rabbi that the abbot is coming to spend some time and talk to him. So spend a few days there. The rabbi was very happy and he gave a very warm welcome to the senior monk. And he welcomed him, he took him to the whole monastery over there. And he really enjoyed his time spending in silence and enjoying the environment. Every day the abbot tried to find some time to talk to the rabbi. But mostly the rabbi was so much involved in so many activities there that he never found that time of silence to sit with him alone. And one day after 2-3 days of his stay, he found that little space. And he said, well, I need to share something very confidential but very important with you. And the rabbi said, okay, let's spend time, let's sit together. And then he shared to him the whole story of how the Buddhist monastery has now been, you know, maybe left alone and there's no many people coming and there's a lot of conflict amongst the group, amongst themselves. And the rabbi said, well, what you have shared to me, well, I have an understanding, but I'm sorry, I don't have a solution for this. And maybe you have got this inspiration or this, you know, from your dreams that maybe the Supreme would be guiding you through me. Well, actually, I don't have a solution. And the abbot said, but wait, let me spend some days here, a few days, but maybe I'm sure you will be touched by the solution. I said, well, okay. But till then, why don't you spend time with our monks with some programs which we are having? And he involved the abbot in some programs. And after a week, it was now time for the abbot to return back. And so he again spoke to the rabbi and said, well, now I need to return back. But I need to have the solution before I go. And the rabbi said, well, as I told you before, I don't think I have any solution to this. But there is one thought which has always come in my mind every time I think about the situation you've shared. And this one thought which the Supreme is giving me is that I'm definite that one monk amongst you is the Messiah. And this thought remained with the abbot. And when he came back, you know, all the monks there were actually looking forward to him coming back with a solution, you know, a ready-made solution so that it could be applied and immediately the environment in the monastery would change. And now the abbot had come back, but seemingly he said, well, I don't have a solution. But the rabbi has told me one beautiful realization which he has had. And I really don't believe it, but I need to believe it, that he said that one person amongst us, there were 7 of these monks, he said one person amongst us is a Messiah. Messiah is a messenger of God. And as soon as he shared this news, all the monks started looking at each other. And then as they started looking at each other, they had a different thought process. And they started looking at each other and they said, well, this person is not very cooperative, you know. Every time there is something to do, he never wants to cooperate. He always has his own ideas. He always wants to dominate. But he's very caring. He's very compassionate. In the time of need, he's always there to, you know, show his love. A lot of concern when someone is ill, there's some pain. He's always very compassionate. And this other monk, he seems to be very irritated and agitated in any situation. But he's very truthful, very honest, very committed to whatever he's doing. And slowly and slowly, they started searching for the Messiah. And then later on, they started looking at themselves. And they found themselves that they also have a lot of weaknesses. But yet, maybe there is some virtue or quality within them because of which they can also be the Messiah. And within days and days, what happened to the environment, slowly and slowly, it started changing. Till now, these monks used to sit together, eat together, but they were never together. And now the environment started changing. And within a few months, the whole environment changed. There were many people now visiting them. And the vibrations were much more peaceful, happy, more positive. And the people around in the village also got the information, and slowly, slowly people started coming and became a very busy environment. It returned back to its original glory. What was the rabbi's gift? What was the rabbi's gift? Yes? Searching within yourself. What else? Seeing your own virtues and seeing other people's virtues. Amongst all those weaknesses which are so easily apparent, they started looking out for the goodness which is there. And so we find when we start seeing virtues, you know, appreciating people, we start empowering it. Humility means seeing people's virtues, seeing their qualities, to be able to see those virtues and to be able to empower, encourage them. Where attention goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, it grows. So most of the time, whether it's a self or others, what do we do? What is easily apparent? The weaknesses. Oh, that person doesn't do that well, that person has this problem. Especially people who are working with us, you know, whom we are with in a team for some responsibility, or people who are living with us. Every day interacting with them, what happens? We find that we start seeing each other's weaknesses more. But we find humility means being able to see goodness, seeing virtues in others, being able to see solutions in a problem. And so that perspective of openness, of being able to see what solution can be there, what response I can give to the situation so that I can move towards a solution. Because things at the outside are always going to have some or the other challenge, some or the other problem. But my perspective, humility, is where I start seeing solution. So we find that it's bowing down, you know, humility, what happens? We try to bow down. It's not just a physical bowing, like when we go to our temple, to any place of worship, you know, in front of the deity or our own symbol of the Supreme, what do? We bow down. Right? Sometimes we bow down flat, no? Sashtang namaskar karte. And so we find it's not a physical bowing down, but it's a realization. A realization of transformation. A realization of being able to have the power to change. Power to change, to move forward, to move beyond my own limitations, to seek newness, to go beyond the old and accept newness. Because as we found in the morning also, Radhika Ben was sharing you the story in the morning, you appreciated Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, you said you didn't want to hear the story. Why? Because there was no change. So we find that we appreciate change, you know. But we say, very beautifully someone has said, everyone likes change, but no one likes to be changed. No? No one likes to be changed. So we find that newness is open. We accept newness. We want newness actually. But when it comes to changing and accepting that new idea, you know, and integrating it into our lifestyle, what happens? We resist. Yes, change should be there. That person should change, this person should change, that person should change. This should change, that should change. Yes? But when it comes to ourselves, well, I'm okay, no? Well, I'm already changing. I've done a lot. No? I've already changed. I've worked so much. I'm no longer thinking in that way. I've already done a lot to work on my positivity. I've done a lot. Yes? And so somewhere within, I'm still holding on to some old ways of thinking, old ways of doing. And so humility means being able to be ready to change, whether it's in the organization or whether it's in the family. Relationships between parents and children, you're just seeing those two images of power. Does it work any longer, the first image in the family with children? No, doesn't work any longer. So it's a change which we need to except in the organization also, when you have a team, you need to give respect. You only get that what you give. And so we find that acceptance of change is real power. And when I experience that real openness from within, I can understand, I can accept that change only when I see growth in that change. When I see myself moving ahead, then what happens? It's more easier. Why do we resist change? We don't want to come out of our comfort zone. We feel we'll not be able to deal with that new situation. Or, yes?
Yes.
We are not able to see the benefits. Yes. Fear is there of the insecurity. Yes. Yes. Extra effort is required. Yes. To understand. Yes. Or to do. What else? Why that fear is there? Why am I holding on? Okay, our weaknesses will be revealed, that we are not able to cope up. That is why. Okay. And so we find that, you know, it's like the trapeze artist, you know, who is holding on the old ladder because he is not sure whether he will be able to catch the new one. So holding on to the old frees you from being in the middle. If you are in the middle, what happens? You will fall. So you know that insecurity is there. I'm not really sure. But when I am able to empower myself, when I am in a journey of constant self-empowerment, then what will happen? Accepting newness will be easier because I'll be able to feel that power to do the new, to be able to implement the new. It's because of lack of experience of power is that I'm not able to accept that change. But you find, though we are talking about all these aspects of self-empowerment, changing, accepting mistakes, you know, we find that these things somewhere, you know, there is an initiative which we need to take, but yet we find we surely need the support of the Divine, the Supreme. And God's power needs to be experienced, you know. And we find that, what is that experience of God's power? This is a special land of blessings where you can experience God's power. Now when we talk about God's power or His support, each one of us has an experience. At least one, yes? Anyone sitting here who would say that I don't have any experience of God's power? None of us. Each one of us has a story within. Yes? We all have. You know, what has been that experience, common experience, when we have experienced God's power or His support? Amongst a challenging situation, amongst a chaotic situation, amongst a situation where there's been a lot of risk, a lot of confusion, a lot of challenges, a lot of problems, a lot of chaos, we have experienced connection with the Supreme and His power, His blessings, we say, or His touching, we say, in spiritual language, or that guidance, that intuition. What is that common experience? What happens at that time amongst that chaos and challenges? What is that experience of God's power? We experience some moral support, okay, from someone or the other around us, from within. What else? Yes? Hope. Situation is completely hopeless, but yet we have hope. We know things will become okay. We know things will change. What else? Yes? We feel protected. Even though there's a lot of negativities around, there's a lot of challenges around, a lot of insecurity, we still feel protected. That is the experience of God's power. What else? There's a lot of acceptance. I move away from expectation and trying to, you know, blame people and blame the situation and, you know, worry about it. But acceptance comes with a lot of happiness, with a lot of contentment. That's the experience of God's power. What else? Happiness. Amongst chaos, amongst in an environment where there's a very unhappy situation, someone giving us a lot of pain and sorrow, or the situation of a lot of pain or sorrow, I still am able to remain happy and calm, light. What else? Each one of us has had this experience of God's power, so all of us can share. Yes? Confidence. I'm not able to do things. Things are not happening the way I thought. I'm not able to manage things. I've tried, but every time I'm failing. Yet, I feel confident. Yet, I feel, no, I will be able to do it. Yet, that deep sense of self-worth is experienced. That's God's power. What else? A balanced state in an environment where everything is going wrong. I still feel that balance within. What else? strength. Situations around me are such that they are taking away power, they are depleting me, they are weakening me, whether it's relationships or whether it's a situation. Yet I feel powerful, I feel strong. What else? Feeling of security in an environment of insecurity, fear, challenge. Everyone around me is feeling hopeless or feeling insecure and fear. Situations are such. It's not just people, but it's situations only are such. Yet I feel secure. Everything will go okay. Everything will happen for the benefit. Sab cheezon mein kalyan hai. Isme bhi kuch achcha hai. Mere liye achcha hi hoga. I feel I'm the chosen one. Yes, amongst so many, I'm the chosen one. What else? What is the experience of God's power? Amongst chaos, stability, no? We have a situation now, so we have to remain stable, yes. What else? Yes, we will surely see. We are just now seeing the signs of God's power, because it's not something which you have to just learn today. It's something which you have already experienced. Only what we are going to try to see is how we can experience it constantly, naturally. Yes? Yes. God's power is experienced by the support of nature. Yes. What else? You didn't expect and there's someone to help you. In an area where you had least expectation, someone will offer help. Someone will offer support. The trust is there. Complete trust will be there. Yes? You have problems and you're not even thinking about it. But you get a solution. Your mind is, you've allowed your mind to be calm, surrendered to the Supreme, and you are able to have a solution. Yes? Your faith in the Self and the Supreme is unlimited at that time. You experience that unlimited faith, the Self and the Supreme. What else? You feel very peaceful in that challenging situation. This is a sign of God's power. And how do we experience it constantly? We've all had some experiences of God's power, no? But today's situations, the call of time is to experience God's power. Yes? Constantly. Because every moment there's going to be some challenge, no? Every moment there's something unexpected. Every moment there's something which is chaotic, yes? The news every day, something comes up every day, yes? And so, what is the call of time now? I need to constantly remain connected and experience His power, His guidance, His support. And the more I am able to remain calm and have that mental surrender, then we find that we are able to experience His support, His guidance by the power of intuition. Whenever we have experienced this intuition, as Brother was asking, what has been our state of mind at that time? Intuitive feeling that we have connected with that. In spiritual world we call it touching, God's touching. The dictionary meaning for intuition is direct access to truth without the support of facts. And whenever we have experienced a deep sense of intuition, intuitive feeling, what has been our state of mind at that time? Yes? Chaotic, stressed, thinking too much, yes? Yes? Peaceful. Absolutely calm. Sometimes no thought at all. Just one thought of surrender to Him. It's at those moments of silence, that inner calmness, that we are able to experience His touching. Yes? Because His touching is like a communication. We experience God's power, which helps us to sustain our foundation of values. We saw those virtues, the list of virtues, yes, the morning. And what we learnt, do we need to acquire those virtues or do we already have them? We have all of them. Remember what sister said? She said we have all of them, but what do we need to do? Practice them and charge them. All of them are with us. We are using them in some way. But today they are not so accessible to us because we have not charge them. And so we have to connect with the Supreme, the source of these virtues, to keep them charged. So values are there, virtues are there, but sustaining those virtues in a challenging world is the challenge. You know, being able to be free from frustration and worry. If God's power is not experienced, then what happens? We are having values, but when we are moving out in the world, what happens? We are faced with challenge, conflict of values, and we are not able to sustain our own inner power. We are not able to sustain our experience of joy. We are not able to be free from that worry. Oh, I have done the right thing, but will it work? I have done something good, but will that person support me? I have done this in the right way, but will it happen? Will it work? You know, so there is always this subtle fear. And I'm not able to sustain and have that energy to remain consistent in my values. But when there's God's power, then I'm able to enjoy that experience of sustaining values free from worry, free from fear, free from insecurity of the future. Yes? That's His power. And when I experience God's power, automatically, as someone said, time supports me. What is the meaning of time supporting me? The situations around me, people around me becoming very supportive, guiding me towards a solution, guiding me towards an answer, guiding me towards growth, towards more strength. But that experience is on the basis of my own elevated thoughts, elevated pure intentions behind that task. When there is pure intentions behind a task, then I am able to experience God's power and support from the environment. In Hindi, very beautifully, our daily spiritual study, we hear this verse, Sache Dil Par Sahib Razi. When there is a power of truth, the power of purity, where I am free from negativity, negative towards people, towards situation or towards the self, free from all negativity and waste, then I am able to experience God's power. And because I am free from negativity, there is a lot of elevated intentions, pure intentions behind the task. Whether it's the task of my looking after my family, or task of looking after some responsibility at work, the intention is always very pure, very elevated. And so automatically what happens, because of that purity of intention, I am able to experience the support from the environment. There is an automatically an experience of some support in the environment through people or through the situations moving towards a solution. Each one of us surely does have an experience of their own. But in our journey, which we have seen here in the organization also, we have seen so many people's, you know, our personal life, but also so many people's lives around us, where we have seen their life moving towards a solution. Whether it's even a challenging situation in the family, whether it's a challenging situation at work also. There's been this experience of this individual at workplace where there was a situation where the organization where he was working, his own, he's been working for 25 years in that organization and very successful in his area of work, and you know, moving towards success, growth, he's got a promotion. But in that experience of promotion, he had to shift his role in the organization to move to another area. But as soon as he moves to the other area, there is some challenges which he faces because of his own limitations of being able to fulfill the requirements of that area, and also because of the challenge which he faces in his relationship with his senior, his boss. And that challenge becomes slowly and slowly stronger. His own inner lack of confidence, lot of self-guilt, lot of negative thinking, lot of mental fatigue, weak thoughts, and this individual goes into depression. And it's been like 2-3 years in the organization, moving towards depression and medicine, organization, has very good value system. So, you know, trying to encourage this employee who has done very well for the organization, but now having this health problem, doctors, but still there's a limitation, you know. Even the psychiatrist after some time says, well, you need to change your thoughts, your feelings. And so the organization also now has to remain productive. And so the organization needs to take a decision after some time, because this individual is not contributing at all to the organization. So 1 year, 2 years, signal has been given to the individual. A time comes when now the organization has to take the hard decision of maybe guiding this individual to leave the organization. Yes, it happens. Yes, many of you would be some roles somewhere in the HR, and you know that you have to do that. And so we have a call from the HR of the organization, and because we have been having programs in the organization, they say that, well, we have this individual who is having this problem, but he is not able to see his own life or his own growth in as a professional beyond this organization. So he's not mentally prepared, not ready. So we would like to see if he can come to the organization for some guidance or some counseling. And, you know, this person comes with his wife, very nice individual, but a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. And, you know, slowly and slowly, this individual, because there's a lot of pain and sorrow, it's a little bit time of counseling. And it's less like, you know, meditation was accepted by this individual and his wife. His wife was really very supportive in his whole journey as a medicine. And so every day, whether, you know, he is able to, he really used to make time to come to the center every day. Daily meditation, daily spiritual classes and all that. And we found in his own experience, slowly and slowly, his state of mind towards himself started changing. It took a lot of time, it took more than a year, but slowly and slowly that inner healing started happening. Still, at the organizational level, you know, his openness towards this individual had become just a little better. But again, there were challenges. He's not able to change his attitude. And maybe after a year and a half, you know, his experience of his connection with his the Supreme Father, experiencing God's power, became more and more intense. And then slowly, slowly, there was a lot of forgiveness which he started experiencing. And somehow this individual was able to again come back to his effectiveness at his work, communication with his colleagues, with his friends started improving. Internally in the organization, there were some requirements in some other area in which this individual, because of his last, you know, role which he had played for 25 years very successfully, he had a lot of capabilities in that area. And so there was a role called for where training had to be given in the organization to different people all over the country. And so this person was, you know, just given an opportunity to come over and talk. And, you know, he was then interviewed and spoke, and people in that department were very satisfied in the training department that this, well, this person can do. And he was now, in, you know, again inducted into the organization to a new department. And today this person is, you know, really experiencing a lot of progress and a lot of good personal satisfaction and satisfaction at work. And so we find that it's not that the experience of God's power means something really magical happened. But what happened, it's been now a journey of more than 2 years, and so this person who was supposed to leave the organization has been inducted into a different role in the organization, actually been interviewed by that department and taken in, and really doing very well. Now what happens? What is the experience of God's power? Is it something magical which happens? What does God's power do? Yes? It allows you to change your vision first towards yourself. It reconnects you to your own inner beauty, to your own inner virtues, to your own inner goodness. And it allows you to regain the faith which you have in yourself. And so what happens? That inner healing starts, you know, beginning. And slowly what happens? What about your vision towards people also? Changes. You start, the situations remain the same. Maybe the person is behaving in the same way, but you start seeing the difference. You start seeing those virtues, the reasons behind that behavior. You start understanding. And so your response starts changing. And when that confidence which you have now developed, you're able to respond to people differently, and you start experiencing small little experiences of daily something, some growth in some area of your own personal experience, some growth in your area of self-development day by day. And then this constant connection through some spiritual study, through meditation towards the Supreme, His support, His encouragement is experienced. And then we find that that transformation from within begins. So we come back to our original self, to our true self. And so we find that experience of God's power actually strengthens our foundation of our own virtues and qualities. It makes us feel more stronger from within. And so that clarity within, and when we are connected to our virtues and our spiritual powers, what happens to the same situation which we are facing? Situations are the same, but what happens when now I'm reconnected to my virtues and powers? You're able to use them. Yeah. You're able to use them, and so you're able to respond differently. Like brother was saying, that 90% is how you respond. But the power to respond comes from those virtues and qualities which you have recharged by your experience of connection with the Supreme. And so when you start responding to situations differently, what happens to the people and the environment, the support? People start responding. People want to encourage you. People want to support you. Through even maybe they are not able to contribute in some other level, but through their thoughts. As soon as they see someone who's working towards a journey of, you know, self-empowerment, self-confidence, what happens at the thought level? A lot of good wishes. Your thoughts, your feelings towards this person becomes positive. You start finding people creating good thoughts about you. And so automatically the environment, whether it's in the family or work, becomes very encouraging. You feel that environment, the good vibrations. You know, many times, you know, we have had families who come regularly, you know, who have been like, whether it's the husband who has started coming, or maybe sometimes the couple together, if they are very lucky, they come to the meditation center together, they do the course, and they are coming regularly. And then sometimes we will ask them to bring their family, their children. And so when the children come, sometimes when we talk to them, the first experience they share with children is that, "Abhi mummy humko itna daanti nahi hai. Daddy jo hai humare saath, bahut pyar se baat karte hain. Hum jo kehte hain, wo humari baat sunte hain." You know, so automatically the whole environment at home, the vibrations, they get empowered, they change. And so the support comes from the environment. And so we find that God's power automatically gives us that experience of support from the environment. And this brings about that inner transformation. That sustenance of that transformation is what we need to then move across. But we find that throughout the day, it's not only challenging situations, but throughout the day, every day, if I'm able to experience that connection with the Supreme and enjoy His power, then what happens? At a day-to-day level, like I was talking about this situation, it was a challenging situation in this person's life. Do we need to wait for a challenging situation to seek out that connection with God and experience His power? Do we need to wait for that? What do we need to do? Every moment, you know. And He's waiting. Because even as a parent, you have full responsibility for your children. So throughout the day, what are you doing, going to do? You're always looking out for opportunities to support your children. Yes. Every time there is a challenge which is faced by any of your children, what happens? As a parent, what is your thought process of wanting to take care, support? You're in a very busy meeting or maybe busy activity at work, but you have a call or a message from your child and he needs something. What do you do? Yes? Yes, you make time. Why? Why do you make time? Yes? You care. also you are responsible. You have taken responsibility for them. Yes? So as a parent, you not only have care, but you are responsible. And so the Supreme, we are His children. So who He becomes responsible for us. And He also has a lot of care and lot of love for us. So He is constantly available. But what do we need to do? To connect and experience His power. He is constantly there. But when we saw in the morning, we need to connect on the basis of our thought process. You know, the wavelength has to match. You know, so today what has been happening is that when I'm in an experience of, you know, lot of pain, lot of sorrow, and lot of low self-confidence, you know, and I'm, you know, asking or begging for support from the Supreme, what happens? My wavelength is very low. So, can I connect to Him? Can I experience His strength? No. It's very important for me to first get reconnected to my own innate self, to my own virtues, to my own sense of confidence as being God's child. Then what happens when I remember Him? I experience His strength, His guidance, His wisdom. So we find that throughout the day, whenever we are in a situation of challenge or pain, we surely remember God. But the remembrance is more of seeking out for help, seeking out for support, you know. Yaad karte hain ya faryaad karte hain? Kya karte hain? Is it more remembrance, seeking out to connect with Him and empower ourselves from Him, or is it seeking out for support and asking and begging? Yes? We want, how many moments throughout the day, whenever we are remembering the Supreme, it's experiencing my, you know, energy being charged and empowering myself, and how many moments am I begging and asking for something or the other? Yes? So most of the moments are asking, begging. And so then we find that at that time we are not able to experience His power because we feel very weak. And we are always at that time, even if we want to experience His power, what do we feel? What should He do? He should just magically change the situation. But that's not God's power. No? Like, you would like to support your child. You cannot just change the situations in your child's life, but you can only support, give guidance. So God's power is the constant experience of His love, where He accepts us, where He helps us to heal ourselves with His love, and His experience of guiding us with His wisdom, so that we can see ourselves with that pure perspective of our own virtues. Our vision towards the situation becomes open, where I see it as a situation which helps me to grow, where I see an individual with an open perspective of his virtues and qualities, and then His power to guide us to respond to that situation in a proactive way, in a way in which I can take the situation towards a solution. So God's power or His support first is helps us to heal. God's love will accept you as you are and help you to heal. Be free from all that pain, sorrow, frustration, hopelessness, low feelings, low self-esteem, inferiority complex heals you. Second is, His power is His wisdom, where He gives you a more understanding of the situation. You know, fear is because of lack of understanding of the situation. When it's dark, you know, even when you get up in the night in your own house, what happens? The darkness, many times, most of the people, is a little fear. And then you don't know what's there around. Even if there would be a rope, and if it would be a little moving, what happens? You feel it could be something, you know, some insect or something. So we find that because of lack of wisdom, of why things are happening, why this is happening to me, how can I deal with it, you know, because of that there's so much of fear. So second support of God's power is He gives us wisdom. And third is He fills the strength in the soul with all the spiritual powers. The powers which we will learn through. We have a session in meditation which will be learned through. The power to tolerate, the power to accommodate, the power to discriminate, the power to decide. The power to face the situation, the power to cooperate, the power to withdraw, the power to pack up. All these spiritual powers. He fills us with that strength so that then we can respond to the situation with a more proactive response, with a more response which moves the situation towards a solution, which leads the situation towards an experience of more joy and happiness for myself, but also the environment. So this is God's power. So it will not magically change the situation, but it will empower me to influence the situation differently. Because if it changes the situation, then it's still temporary, no? Then another situation will come. Yes? One situation moves away, what happens? Another situation will come, and again, you have to keep begging and begging and begging. Do you want your child to always beg for support? You like your child always asking, Mommy, please do this, Daddy, please do this? No. You want to see your child becoming worthy to deal with situations. The same way, the Supreme Father. So His support, this connection is experienced through Raja Yoga. So the morning sessions which we are having has these beautiful tools which you will be able to experience of experiencing this connection. This connection where you can easily connect and communicate with Him and experience the joy of being in His companionship. So when I'm experiencing that constant companionship, then what happens? Jaisa sang, vaisa rang. You know, then the intellect is constantly in the company of God. What happens? What is His energy level? God's energy level? His state of happiness, His state of peace, His state of lightness, His state of joy, His state of power, His state of wisdom. Yes? Absolute. So when I'm in the company of someone absolute, what happens? Two energies meet, flow of energy is always from higher to the lower. So through my mind and intellect being in company of God, and that's what we will experience through Raja Yoga. I'm sure as you spend time in these 3 days here, you'll be able to explore this beautiful connection with the Supreme Father and enjoy and learn this technique of constantly remaining connected so that you can enjoy His powers at every moment in your life, in every situation, in every relationship. So that you can always be a constant image of support for others. Because today, God is there, but today the world needs a lot of other people who are always available as images of support. Which maybe in industry or in, you know, your jargon, business jargon, you call as leaders. Leaders are who? Images of support. And so when I remain constantly connected, then I become automatically an image for support. So these 3 days will give you a lot of experiences yourself of God's power. Your being here is actually another experience of God's power. Yes, you had the invitation. Maybe there must have been some other things which were planned, and yet you're here. You know, some people were have come in place of other people. You know, sometimes we find, and so we find that it's His power which actually has brought us also here. And so these 3 days will give us an enjoyable experience of enjoying His power, but allowing it to become our natural state of mind, enjoying this experience constantly throughout our life. And I'm sure this morning sessions of Raja Yoga will help you to experience that beautiful connection with God. And surely these 3 days you will be able to spend those little moments of time. Especially we have the environment everywhere is very peaceful. But in those meditation rooms which we have, like we said, the meditation room here nearby. We also have another meditation room in the lotus-like shape in the meditation room. You know, it's called Baba's room. You must be wondering, who is Baba? Though you will be able to listen the history of the founder. When we say Baba here, it's the Father. The loving universal Father, the Supreme. And so it is the Father's room. So it's a room where we can have a very beautiful meeting with Him. So throughout the day also we can meet Him through our mind everywhere. But that environment becomes very supportive. It's like you can exercise everywhere. But when you go to a gym, what happens? the environment is so enthusiastic that you automatically feel like exercising there. You can have a walk in your home also, but when you go to the park, what happens? The joggers park, you feel the vibrations over there. You get that enthusiasm. So in the same way, these meditation room, the bubbles rooms, they have that beautiful environment of peace, of vibrations, of closeness with the Supreme. And I'm sure you'll be able to experience those moments with the Supreme and experience His power. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So, what is the significance of time? The thing which I have understood, maybe all of you have understood, I'll just put it in two lines, that this is the time when I not only need to realize God, even to experience the power of God, to bring out the goodliness and virtues in me, and not only bringing the virtues but sustaining it with His help, isn't it? So I thank Deepa Ben for this wonderful session.
ईश्वर अपने साथ है, डरने की क्या बात है? ईश्वर अपने साथ है, डरने की क्या बात है? सदा सफलता साथ हमारे, सदा सफलता साथ हमारे, हाथ में उसके हाथ है। ईश्वर अपने साथ है, डरने की क्या बात? हमारे सदा सफलता साथ हमारे, हाथ में उसके हाथ है। ईश्वर अपने साथ है, डरने की क्या